And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours. Plenty to get to on today's show. Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 will join us to talk all things Longhorns. Speaking of the Longhorns, Texas baseball exercising some demons against UTSA at the Dish last night. We will recap that game and let you hear from Jim Schlossnagel. We've got some sound from Sean Miller to get into. We've got some NBA playoff conversation, some potential rule changes coming to college football, and of course the BBK news and why today is not so bad. A lot to dive into on a hump day edition of the program. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Wednesday with us. How are you today, my man?
I am fabulous. It's a little humid out, but such is life. Over the next 24 to 48 hours, we should see some rain again. Sorry about that, y'all, but it's coming. I mean, it's going to come hard Thursday and Friday for sure, maybe even later on tonight. So be on the lookout for some spotty showers and then some thunder showers starting really on Friday. It could get really ugly. And it seems like it's been ugly for like the last month. When they say, well, we need the rain, it's like, not anymore, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like we've had enough rain, but we are in Texas, and it takes about 2 days for this to dry up, or maybe one day, and all of a sudden it's dry again. So we'll take all the rain we can get. I just don't like it. I just, you know, you get to a point where when you look up and it's cloudy skies, and but we know the sun will be here soon enough. We know what's about to happen. But as of this morning, it is very, very humid. So keep yourself hydrated out there. If you must do stuff outside, which the Buck is definitely doing, you know, it's like drink up and keep drinking. And I don't like water, BK. I don't like water.
Why not?
I just don't like water.
You don't like the taste of it? You don't like the texture of it?
It just doesn't. It's, you know, it doesn't do anything like maybe a nice Allstat or nice margarita used to
what?
Be.
I mean, you haven't had an alcoholic beverage in 25 years. You don't even remember what those taste like.
I know. I know they did something to me that was different. It made it different. Water doesn't make me any different, except for just keeps my engine going. That's about it, I guess.
Yeah, those two things do the opposite. One of them hydrates and the other one dehydrates.
Yeah, it gives me that little bit of – little. Doesn't give me the edge that some other stuff could give me, but that was not good 25 years ago. And water 70 years now is not doing me any good, I don't believe. But I'll keep drinking it. As I say, drink. Somebody tried to tell me, my doctor tried to say, can't you drink 60 ounces of water a day? I said, I can't drink 60 ounces of water in a week, sir. What are you talking about in a day? He said, well, that's what your body can use. I'm like, 60 ounces? I said, you know how many times I'll be going to the bathroom? Every 15 minutes, I'll be shooting around with my enlarged prostate, which I've had surgery on, and everything's good. Thank you very much, docs. Appreciate that. We do appreciate that part. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much for what you do. We do appreciate it. To you and your families, do be safe out there, please.
I hope everyone else's prostate is doing okay today.
Yes, I do too. And guys, if it's time for that checkup, let's get them done. You know, football season will be right around the corner where you decide not to check up on anything. So if you got these times right now before the kids get out, when you got all kinds of daddy duties to do, go see your physician, get that checkup. There's some of you that, you know, every year you get that free yearly checkup and you don't go and it's for free. That's nuts. How about going and getting some stuff checked out?
You should.
I mean, you should, because most of the times they're going to say, you know what? You need more of this. You don't have enough of that, but you still should get checked up. No matter what the outcome is, you still should go, and especially if you get a freebie.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Take care of yourself, guys.
What about you? Did you go get yours done yet?
No, I typically do it kind of late summer.
Do you?
There's still too many sports going on for me to go.
For that body checkup?
Yeah, once we get to the true dog days when, like, college baseball's done and the NBA and NHL playoffs done and it's literally just Major League Baseball going on, then that's when it's like, all right, maybe I should, like, take care of myself as a human being.
Yeah, maybe that counts.
Get some things done. And, yeah, that's what the summer is for. Plus, all those doctor's offices are inside, so anytime I cannot be outside in the summer, I will take advantage.
That's a good thought right there. Get in the air conditioning, just sit there in the waiting room. Take your time, Doc. I'm going to be right here for you.
Just like that. Just don't be so loud with that glove, that latex glove, Doc.
You don't have to pop that thing.
No, you don't.
Yeah, your time is coming. Hey, by the way, your time is coming up for that, too.
Nah, I got a ways to go for that one, my friend. Thank you for trying to rush me to see Dr. Jellyfinger. I do appreciate that. We got years for that. Well, Buck, last night, the Longhorn baseball team was able to get some revenge.
Yes, that was revengeful. You're absolutely right.
Against the Meat Meeves of UTSA, Texas 11, UTSA 8, the final score at UFCU Dish Falk Field. The Longhorns trailed 8-7 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Carson Tinney does it again. Remember, he hit the walk-off last Tuesday to beat the ghost of Sam Houston. And this one wasn't a walk-off. Obviously, it happened in the eighth inning. But the go-ahead grand slam that nearly landed on the tennis court, about 483 feet off the bat of Carson Tinney, an absolute no-doubter to put the Horns in front. Thomas Burns was able to shut the door with a 1-2-3 ninth. And I know it's regular season. It doesn't remove all of the sting from what happened last year in the postseason. But that was fun to see the Longhorns find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good start on starting to try to get to that crescendo a little bit where you start really playing pretty well. A lot of guys, you know, coming in a pitch and doing a really, really good job, which is very, very important. Yeah, you give up some runs, but you also now are at the point where you're now scoring runs and you're consistently putting points, you know, putting up numbers on the board, which is great to see.
Yeah, and the Longhorns, look, their last four games have all been against NCAA tournament teams, right? Obviously, yes. Mississippi State, who came into Austin ranked number 10 in the country. We know they're a tournament lock. They're going to host when we get to a regional round. And then UTSA, I think, is a tournament team once again. So the Longhorns are 3-1 in their last four against NCAA tournament teams. Yes. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you want to see in the month of May as we get close to the tournament beginning. The Longhorns playing some good baseball, and it wasn't always pretty last night, but again, they found a way to get that big clutch hit when they absolutely needed to. Shout out to Brody Walls. I mean, it was Max Grubbs who got the start for Texas. He got hit around a little bit. Ethan Walker came in. He gave up a couple of runs, but Brody Walls, the young bullpen arm, came in out of the pen, gave up just one run in 3 2/3 innings of relief. He had 5 strikeouts, only gave up a hit, only gave up a walk. I mean, he was able to put up a lot of zeros to give Texas enough time to get their bats going and get back into the game. So he was maybe the biggest star of the game. And obviously Carson Tinney with the big blast in the eighth inning to give Texas the victory.
Yeah. Now you'd like to have some of these games when you get to regional play where you can get a, you know, 5-3 win, you know, 4-2, 4-1. But right now, other teams are hitting too. I mean, some of their guys are getting into the swing of things too. They're pretty good guys on the other side. When you're pitching, there's some pretty good hitters that they faced over the last couple of series, as a matter of fact. So it's not always going to be pretty. It's not going to be, you know, 2-0, 4-0. You're not going to get a lot of those right now. Guys can hit the ball now. Guys have been at the plate enough times to understand, you know, and they're kind of in their groove too. So when you can get these wins and score 11 runs, that's a good thing. Even if you give up, you know, you give up 5 or 6, I don't like giving up 8, but you give up 4 or 5 runs, you score 11. That's a pretty good outing, I got to believe, for everybody.
If you win games by 6 or 7 or 8 runs like you're talking about, then absolutely that's a great outing. But these Tuesday games are typically higher scoring than your weekend games because you're not using any of your best pitchers. And the Longhorns didn't trot out any of their best arms last night. So that's just kind of a general rule in college baseball that the scores are a little higher in those midweek games than they are on the weekends. I mean, when Dylan Volantis is out there, Texas can absolutely keep an opponent, I don't care who the opponent is, to 1 or 2 runs. Ruger Rojas has shown the ability to do that. Even Luke Harrison at times has shown the ability to put up a bunch of zeros. So, yeah, on the weekend, I think Texas does have the pitching that you need to win those low scoring games. But again, sometimes you get to some of the other guys in the pen, then the scores can inflate a little bit. But it's nice to know that, okay, the Texas bats, like I think the best team, Buck, you could say this in football, you could say this in basketball, you could say this in any sport, the best teams are able to win in different ways.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, okay, you can have an elite defense in college football, but if your offense isn't good enough, then you're going to lose and slip up from time to time. You want to be great right. in all areas. And Texas isn't a perfect baseball team by any stretch, but again, they have shown throughout the course of this season, the 40 plus games that they've played, that they are capable of beating good teams in a variety of ways.
No doubt about it.
Which is really, really nice to see. Here is Jim Schlossnagel. We'll start with him talking about Carson Tinney, the hero from last night's game with that go-ahead grand slam. Again, Carson Tinney has shown up clutch time and time again for Texas in his first season after transferring in from Notre Dame. He's now second on the team in home runs. Here is Schloss on Carson Tinney's clutch gene that we've seen lately.
I mean, he's talented. You know, he's obviously super talented, and he's comfortable in his own skin. He's gotten comfortable playing at Texas. That took a little bit of time, I think, in the first month or so of the season, where, you know, he was, I think, put a lot of pressure on himself to live up to, you know, whatever, you know, outside influences were trying to write or say about him. And that's part of being a great player, is you have to learn how to handle those things. And he's done a great job of that. Tulo's done a great job with him. Max has been a big part of his development. Nolan's been an awesome part of his catching development. So he's just, you know, continued to grow here, which is what we believe in, you know, from a transfer standpoint. You know, it's not just the high school players that get better here. The portal players get better here. And we've proven that at the different places that we've been, that even a guy in his, you know, sophomore and junior year can come here and get better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great to talk about how a guy like this coming from Notre Dame, highly touted. Everybody talked about what a great catcher he was, how he frames pitches, how he can really handle staffs. But it looks like he's somebody that will learn no matter where he is. You know, no matter if it's Notre Dame, Texas, any place that guy, he will listen to coaching. And he's probably had to change some things. You know, he's probably so good at Notre Dame, it was just fine after a while. But he's come here and he's probably had to change a few things. And it looks like he's into his groove of, okay, I've changed a couple things, but now at the plate, I can hit anything that you throw up here. He really hits a lot of different types of balls too.
Yeah, he's a complete hitter, and you heard Schloss talk about it. I mean, early in the season, Carson Tinney was struggling a bit with the bat. He was walking a ton, so he was getting on base. Right. Not like he was a liability in the batter. The contact has come around. The power has definitely come around, and he's a guy who didn't need a ton of developing. I mean, he was a finalist for the Buster Posey Award right. last year at Notre Dame, which is given out to the best catcher in college baseball. So he was already an elite player, but I do think he has elevated his game even more. He is a rock behind the plate. He's great for the pitching staff. And again, the power is some of the best you'll see in the nation. And that's ridiculous. 483 feet. There aren't a lot of guys who can hit a baseball that far at this level.
And, it's just kind of cool when a head coach like that tells you that this guy's come here and he's taken on the coaching and he's not bad at it. He just has gone with the flow. He's still learning and he appreciates it. And now he's playing at his best right now. And this is the time where they need him to be playing at his best too, which is great. And any other, just the way he started, even, you know, when he had a little bit of a slump there, BK, for some people that'd been good enough, but not for this guy, not for him. He wants to be the best. You can tell he wants to be the best at what he does, whether it's behind the plate or in the batting box. I mean, you can just tell.
No, for sure. And he's playing for draft status, right?
Absolutely.
He's going to be drafted in the MLB draft this summer, but he is elevating his stock right now.
Absolutely.
And, he's playing some great ball as of late, and he carries this over into the postseason, and that's only going to help where he ends up going in the amateur draft coming up. More from Jim Schlossnagel here. You know, I'm a little disappointed in the Texas media, because they had their opportunity to chop it up with Coach Schloss post game, and they asked a number of different questions, and there were a lot of good questions asked about the Longhorns' victory over the Roadrunners, but nobody asked, was revenge on the mind?
Oh, yeah, you were waiting for that. You wanted that one.
Are you happy that you finally beat a UTSA team that you hadn't beaten since 2020? Now, the losing streak was only three games. All three of the games were last year, by the way, one in the regular season and then two in the Austin Regional. But it had been a while since the Longhorns had beaten UTSA. It's kind of
he didn't want that negativity. He didn't want that negative Nelly in there.
Well, no.
I know it is what it is. They have beat you.
You think he told all the reporters before the presser started, like, hey, don't ask any questions about the past games, you know?
Yeah, I would pass that around on a little cheat sheet. Around here. Don't ask me about what happened last year. It has nothing to do with this year.
I wanted him to get asked about UTSA and just say, yeah, we hate those guys. We can't stand them. And this was our biggest game of the year. And that guy, BK, on the zone is right.
We wanted to just crush them.
We wanted to crush those fools. So the closest thing Schloss was asked, he was asked about, you know, UTSA as a program and their fans and just kind of the atmosphere at the Dish last night. And I don't think this is lip service. I don't think this is coach speak. I think Jim Schlossnagel really does believe what he says here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought both. You know, I heard the UTSA fans. It's kind of when you're playing Texas State, playing UTSA, a lot of fans of those schools, you know, in Austin and certainly San Antonio, close enough. So, yeah, it's great. It's a great rivalry. I greatly respect UTSA and Coach Hallmark and everything they do. You know, we don't like think of them any less than any SEC school. Like they're a really good program with really, really good players, and you know, probably see them again, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think they probably feel that way about UTSA and Texas State when they play them. Yeah. We treat them like they're an SEC. This is not just a team that's right down the road from us, and we get to play them on Tuesday, and if they beat us, it's a big deal for them, not a big deal for us. I think he treats those two teams – Not Sammy Houston, not the ghost of Sam Houston and all that. He doesn't treat those teams. I don't think he treats them like that. But those two, Texas State and UTSA, I think he treats them a little differently than your regular Tuesday game.
Maybe. I think UTSA and Texas State are kind of in a different league right now. I guess technically they are in a different league. But I mean, UTSA has been the much better program in recent years. And like, sure. I don't think Texas State's a postseason team this year, while UTSA is definitely getting in. So it's more of a litmus test for how good your squad is when you're playing the Roadrunners than just about any other team in the state of Texas right now.
Oh, yeah, and how you play against a team you're supposed to beat.
Right.
I mean, really, yeah, you're supposed to beat them.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hallmark's done a fantastic job there. UTSA is a very solid program these days, and I do think there's a little bit more that goes into that game than your typical Tuesday. And I'll say this, maybe it still scares Longhorn fans. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it never did. Right. Maybe Texas fans last year's last year. This team's better. They're different. We're not worried if UTSA is in our regional.
Oh, but you were worried. But you're not one of those fans.
Well, now I feel a lot better. I said if they lost yesterday, I was going to be very worried. But now I feel a lot better that, OK, well, Texas, I mean, we know they can beat UTSA. But
you know, if they see in one of these regionals that they're you feel better now.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. I think you have to. I mean, if they had lost last night and it's four straight L's, how could you be super confident that you're going to be able to beat that team twice potentially, which is what you would maybe have to do in a regional. But I'll say this, like if I'm on the NCAA tournament committee, I am absolutely putting UTSA in the Austin regional. I'm looking for storylines.
No, send them to A&M. Send them where the Aggies will be.
They might. They absolutely might, right? I mean, they typically try to keep things pretty regional, funny enough, with the word. But I'm like, man, I'm going for the storyline. I want to see if Texas can beat these guys or if we're going to get some more craziness with UTSA in back-to-back years going into Austin and knocking off the big, bad Longhorns. Like I think Schloss is right. I think UTSA will be in Texas's region when the bracket comes out in a couple of weeks, and they're going to have to find a way to beat those guys again like they were able to do yesterday.
There you go.
So just get ready for that. One more bit of sound here, Buck. In our cohort, Mike Harge sometimes calls games on the SEC Network and SEC Network Plus, and last night he was the color commentator on the Texas-UTSA game. And we've got the TV call of the go-ahead grand slam from Carson Tinney in the eighth inning. And our guy Hardball Harge has himself a catchphrase now.
Oh, no.
You know, all the great announcers do. I mean, your guy John Sterling, who just passed away earlier this week, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Thank you very much.
Right, everyone's got one. Hardball Harge has one. Here's the call of Tinney's Grand Slam, and I want to get your thoughts on the new catchphrase slash punchline, whatever this is, from our guy Harji.
It's belted left field. This one's on its way and deep into the Lone Star State night. A go-ahead Grand Slam for Carson Tinney.
He got the foot down, he got excited, and he let it fly. His eyes got big, and this is what you want to see from your big-time transfer from Notre Dame. Bang, bang, he hit that thing.
Bang, bang, he hit that thing. Yeah, it sounded like me last weekend. Yeah, bang, bang, I hit that thing. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, the cornier, the better. Those catchphrases... the cornier, the better. That one's pretty good. Bang, bang, you hit that thing.
Couple of questions here. Number one, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's all right. Never mind. That's one of my weekend night catchphrases. Bang, bang, I hit that thing. You know what I'm saying?
You're playing baseball on weekends, tennis.
No. Extracurricular activity, yeah.
Oh, is that? That's what you say after you do it?
Yeah.
You speak in third person like that?
Yeah.
Bang, bang, he hit that thing.
Oh, bang, bang, I hit that thing, yeah. Okay. And loud, too. I want the neighbors to know.
Okay.
I want them to know that I just went out of the park. You know what I'm saying?
Bang, bang, I hit that thing.
There you go.
I like that right there. I got to try that.
Good job, Harge. Good job.
You're calling it corny. I don't know, man. I don't know if he'd appreciate you saying the cornier the better. You're making it seem like
it has to be. It has to be. Those things, those catchphrases, those little bits are always corny. But if you can get it really, really corny, it's great. And bang, bang, he hit that thing. It's pretty corny, but that's good.
I love it.
I do too. I like that a lot.
One more time here. The call of Carson Tinney's go-ahead Grand Slam in the eighth inning on the SEC Network.
It's belted left field. This one's on its way and deep into the Lone Star State night. A go-ahead Grand Slam for Carson Tinney.
He got the foot down. He got excited and he let it fly. His eyes got big. And this is what you want to see from your big-time transfer from Notre Dame. Bang, bang, he hit that thing.
You know what I'm saying? He got his foot down. Hey, his eyes got, you know, Saturday night, my eyes get all big. And bang, bang, I hit that thing.
He got his foot down. He got excited.
Oh, yeah. There you go, Harge.
That's exactly what you want to see.
Way to go, Harge. Good job.
Bang, bang, he hit that thing.
I don't ever want to hear that again.
He does that after every home run.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's his bit. He did it a few times last night.
Well, we have say goodnight to that one. We've heard that millions of times. This is Harge's deal.
Yeah, of course. The great Craig Way, also one of our cohorts on the Zone. Say goodnight to it. Yeah, that's a classic. Hear that in football, basketball, baseball, whatever. Now we've got bang, bang, you hit that thing.
Oh, I can't wait for that in football. We got to do that. We got to bring that one back for a big, big hit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, that'll be a drop on this show moving forward.
Yes, for sure.
We'll have to say goodnight to it, and we'll have the bang, bang, you hit that thing.
Ready to go, Harge.
That's awesome. So there you go. Texas baseball gets the win 11-8 over UTSA last night at the Dish. Sorry about that, Meep Meeps. We took a 9-iron like the Buck did to
it. Yeah, that's right. You thought, hey, they thought they were going to score because they got 8 runs they could get it done. Not enough. Not enough. We gave you a little bit of a lead late even.
Yeah, that was a weird game because Texas jumped out to a 4-0 lead, and UTSA all of a sudden, they came back with a 6-run third, and then Texas had to play catch-up the rest of the way. Again, they were down 8-7 with just 6 outs to go. And then Carson Tinney came through when it mattered most. So, nice win for the Horns. They exercised some demons. Now they get set for a road trip to Tennessee this weekend. That was the final midweek game of the year. So, 6 more regular season games left for the Horns. 3 at Tennessee this weekend, and then Missouri at home next weekend to wrap up the regular year. And then we'll all go to Hoover. Well, I shouldn't say we're not going, but the teams will all go to Hoover for the SEC tournament. Can we get that moved somewhere cooler than Hoover, Alabama, please?
Really?
I mean, we got to go to Atlanta, which, I mean, Atlanta's a big city, but, like, got to go to Atlanta every year for football. I mean, that's like Nashville for basketball. That's fun. That's awesome. That's a great trip that you want to make. Hoover, Alabama for baseball, seriously?
Hoover, Alabama for anything except for getting a soda pop. That's about it.
I can get a soda pop here.
Yeah, that's – forget about it.
Round Rock or something for the SEC baseball tournament. Throw us a bone.
Bang, bang. There you go.
Bang, bang. How about that? I'll do some bang, banging in Round Rock.
That sounds good right there.
Whatever it takes. So there you go. We'll take your thoughts. Dakota text line 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. Texas softball, by the way, they are in the SEC tournament. They've got a double bye. They finished as the 4 seed in the SEC, so they won't play their first game until tomorrow. We'll find out today who they will play. All right, we've got to shift gears here. Some potential rule changes coming to college football. We'll give our thoughts on that, plus some NBA playoff action. We got to give the Bucks some love for having a great night with his gold star locks. But before we get to anything else, how about our first round of sponsor shout outs?
Folks, if you're having problems with your knees, your ankles, your hips, your shoulders, I'm not just saying just go to Relax the Back, but if it's past that part of it and you may need surgery, how about our good friends at Texas Orthopedics? They believe, of course, their physicians offer you comprehensive surgical and how about this non-surgical orthopedic care. So it's not always about getting surgery. It's about the non-surgical things that they taught you about healing yourself for sure. Spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. We love those guys. And their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com. And they also have a new location at Walsh Tarleton, and they are open now, as a matter of fact. Did I do it okay? Did I say Walsh Tarleton, right?
I don't know.
Walsh Tarleton State.
Okay. Bill Walsh, Tarleton Street.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
That is.
That's that Pennsylvania Dutch little accent that I got growing every once in a while.
I love it. Love Texas Orthopedics.
I don't think people have noticed that over the almost 30 years of doing media stuff that I have a little bit of a Pennsylvania Dutch accent.
Do you?
I got a little bit of the Dutchie in me, yeah.
What does that mean?
Dutch, I have that Pennsylvania. Well, you get to the end of sentences and you rise up. It sounds like you're bringing it up, you know, instead of finishing the sentence. It goes, you know, and I don't say use guys. I used to growing up in Pennsylvania, used to be use guys.
Okay. Yeah. I was curious, like, what are the words or terms that go along with Pennsylvania Dutch?
Use. One of his use. Yeah.
The use guys doings.
You know, like you people, you're like use people.
Oh, so you're racist up there. Interesting.
Use people. Use guys. That's why you say a lot. Use guys.
Well, use guys should go to Centex Tickets.
Yes.
To get any tickets to any Longhorn game, any Austin FC game. Hey, if you want to go to San Antone for game two of their second round playoff series against Minnesota tonight, you can get your tickets on CentexTickets.com. Any sporting event, they have concert tickets, comedy shows, Broadway shows, festivals. I know the ACL lineup came out yesterday. You want to get your bands ready to roll for October? Centex Tickets has you covered. The best seats, the best prices, 100% guaranteed. And they also have the 10% off discount code. All you have to do is type in Centex10 at checkout, and you are going to get 10% off. That's exclusive for listeners of this show. Centex10, 10% off from our great friends at CentexTickets.com.
And folks, our good friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company, proud to be a place where you can come in hungry and leave full. Over 30 locations in Texas, and they're all great, as a matter of fact. Hat Creek Burger is a place for good food, good folks, and a lot of good fun. Just that simple. Love Hat Creek Burger. And mom and dad, if you want to go there and still have a margarita at the end of the day and take the kids for burgers, fries, or shakes, this is the place to go. They have that just for you. They got the wonderful playscapes there and plenty of fun. I love Hat Creek Burger. You know, before I play golf, I do it. I give myself a double, but I'm not going to distance. We're not doing milkshakes, burgers, and your fries. We can't do all that. We tried that once. didn't work well. But boy, I could have one of those big old Hat Creek, Big Hat burgers for sure, and regular fries. I want to say shake, but I've tried that. It doesn't work for me, BK. It's just a little too much, a little too heavy for the big man. But on the weekend, load up on the weekends. You haven't been there this week yet, have you?
No, I've got a dinner tonight close to Hat Creek Burger Company. I didn't get to choose the restaurant, but I think for dessert, I'm going to get me a shake.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, I still need to try that Pitmaster stack with the Terry Black's brisket on it.
You can't do that after dinner. You can't. That can't be an appetizer, right? I mean, that can't be the after dinner snack, can it?
I don't think so. We're just going to banana pudding shake.
I got to hear from somebody who's had that bad boy. See what it tastes like.
You'll hear from me. I am going to try it this week. It just won't be tonight. I'll let you know. I'll report back.
Thank you very much.
At Hat Creek Burger Company. And also love our friends at Sleep Cycle Center. Shout out to our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team over at Sleep Cycle Center. Calling all you snorers out there. Just calling all you people who have trouble sleeping, falling asleep, staying asleep. If you feel tired during the day, if you're drowsy, you need to get this checked out. It's not just annoying. It's not just, oh, I snore, but I don't hear it, so it's all good. Screw my partner. I don't care about them. Bang, bang, screw you, partner. Now, you got to go get this checked out because it could be the sign of a serious health problem. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. That could be you, and people have lost their lives due to this disease. Dr. Chad lost his own father from undiagnosed sleep apnea. He lost his life in his sleep. That's why he's so passionate about getting these sleeping problems corrected. He does not want that to happen to you or somebody you love. So if you or somebody you love, again, has any issues sleeping or has a problem snoring, go see Dr. Chad. They have all, it's not just CPAP. They have mouth guards. They have all sorts of things they can use to make those sleeping problems go away forever. Free consultations plus $100 off an at-home sleep study if you tell them you heard about them on this show. SleepCycleCenters.com is their website for more information. All right, Buck, got to give you some love, sir. You had three gold star locks for the people last night on the two NBA playoff games and the one Stanley Cup playoff game. And you had been slumping a little bit.
Yes, I have.
No, you had been slumping a lot of it. You were down 425,000 units going into Tuesday's action. But you had 350,000 unit plays, and you won all three of them.
Sir. And you had pushed me to do more. Is that it? That's all you're going to do? And I said, let's just do it slowly. We'll work our way through this. Everything will be just fine.
Well, if you had 150,000 units on each of those three games last night, you'd be back in the green.
Sometimes it's not worth the risk. Sometimes it's just not. I'll know when the time is right.
Well, you got your three last night. The Detroit Pistons taking game one against Cleveland at home. The Oklahoma City Thunder taking game one against the Lakers at home. And the Colorado Avalanche in the NHL going up 2-0 against the Minnesota Wild.
Boy, the Lakers have got problems. LeBron has 27. You know, SGA didn't do very much. And they let Chet Holmgren get off on them big time.
Yeah, Holmgren led the way with 24 points. Wow. It's a bad matchup for the Lakers. I mean, look, they're a bad matchup for just about anybody. They're the defending champs. They had the best record in the league all season long, so they're very good. There aren't a lot of teams who are capable of beating them, but you're right. I mean, LeBron had a very, very good night. SGA did not, and Oklahoma City still won by, 18 points?
Yes.
They were in control pretty much the entire second half. Like, there wasn't a moment where you really thought the Thunder were ever going to lose. So, I mean, they played four times during the regular season, and Oklahoma City won all four games, and they won them by an average of 29.3 points. So last night was actually closer than what the regular season games looked like. I mean, obviously, no Luka for L.A. They've got no chance without that.
What was that line last night? Was it 15? You said it was 15 or 13?
15.5.
15.5. Wow.
I know. They won by 18, so it was relatively close. But I think what's super impressive about what Oklahoma City's doing, I mean, their second-best player, Jalen Williams, has not played a game in these playoffs yet.
I know.
And the Thunder are 5-0. They haven't played a great team just yet, but still super impressive to do what they're doing despite an all-star in Jalen Williams being a part of things. And yeah, they're deep, they're talented, they're well coached, they're good. And that's going to be a tough one for the Lakers.
Yeah, and in hockey, the Avs, I mean, they're undefeated. They're ridiculous. They're just running right through people.
Well, the Avs are the Thunder of the NHL, to where, yes, I guess they're not the defending champs, but they were the best team in the league all year long. And they're the one seed in the Western Conference. And yeah, they are 6-0 so far. Swept through the Kings in round one, and they're up 2-0 over a, you know, very good Minnesota team that obviously eliminated the Dallas Stars in the first round. Yeah, the Avalanche, they score a lot of goals.
Where do they ever?
And there, you know, I've got some questions. Their goalie is the old Stars backup goalie, and he gave up 6 in game one. I don't think he's that great, but I don't think he needs to be. I mean, they're scoring 5, 6, hell, 9 goals a night. Then you don't need a super talented netminder.
True, they get them in bunches. They get that thing going, and they are hard to stop.
They are hard to stop. So they're good. It's going to be tough for either of those one seeds to get beat 4 out of 7 times. So there's the action from last night. Tonight, we'll see if you've got some plays for the people. 2 more games in the NBA, including game 2 for that San Antonio-Minnesota series. Also, 2 more games in the NHL, so a chance for you to really get back on track.
Don't see. Now you're putting there. You're trying to push. You're trying to get me going. It's not going to happen. I'm only going to put 100,000 units on the Knicks to go ahead and get rid of the. And if you tell me the line, it can't be more than 8.
7.5.
Ooh, boy, that's that borderline for me.
Well, that's what it was in game one, and the Knicks won by 100.
I know. I'll take the Knicks again for 100,000 unit play.
Okay. Learn from your mistake of betting on Philly in that first game.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again.
So that's your first game of the doubleheader tonight. And then, yeah, you've got San Antonio. Must-win game for the Spurs tonight, Buck?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. Or maybe I should say it's the other way around. Must-win for the Wolves, maybe. Maybe this is – the one that if they win this one, they can win the series. So, yeah, I think I'm going to say the Spurs. What is that line?
That line is 9.5.
I will take the Wolves for a 100,000 unit play.
Okay.
Spurs win, but this will be another close one.
Spurs were 12.5 point favorites in game one, yeah. Obviously lost outright. 9.5 point favorites in game two. Now,
yeah,
we're
going to have to swipe the leg tonight. That could happen.
Sweep the leg.
Sweet to the, why not?
For Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Just re-hyperextend that knee?
Yeah, watch out when you get that foot underneath the foot that comes down. Sometimes you see that happen. Sometimes it's an accident, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, let me see. Where is that bruise exactly, Ant? Where's that bone bruise that you have? Can you show us so we know exactly where we need to go here?
Oh, man. I'm still surprised that guy's even playing and even – in game two, forget it. I didn't think he was going to play into a game. Every time I kept seeing that, the way that went down, I'm like, yeah, good Lord, he's lucky he didn't tear everything he's got there.
Well, no mystery, no intrigue about this one, right? We didn't know. Again, we didn't think he was going to play in game one, but he did. So now we know he's going to play in game two. Only 25 minutes in the opener. He was clearly on a minutes restriction. I would think he is again tonight. But
yeah, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, about him playing more minutes. We don't know how sore that thing came out. You know, I mean, he had 2 days, but my goodness. I mean, that's still the 25 minutes that he played. That's a lot when you didn't think the dude was going to even show up. So, you know, that had to be sore the day after and into the next day and even into the day, you know.
Yeah, today is the next day, right? Yeah, sometimes in these NBA series, you get 2 days off in between.
Oh, you'll get a full 2, yeah.
But just one, right? They last played on Monday. They're playing again here on Wednesday. So not a lot of R&R time for Anthony Edwards. Yeah, we'll see if he looks a little.
Yeah, those kind of injuries are not, you know, it'll be fine. You know, you play hard and then, you get a little bit of rest and it kind of loosens up. No, you need to let that thing rest if you put the kind of, and he still put a lot of, you know, he made a lot of sideways cuts that I didn't think he could do and he just did it, you know?
Yeah, considering I didn't think he could do anything,
right.
I'm with you, but like, Anthony Edwards is one of the best athletes in the sport. So if
he may be one of the best athletes in sport, period. Really.
Yeah,
he's special.
Fair. And if he is progressing, if he's not sore and it's just like, oh no.
If it's not sore and he's and he felt good, and he didn't have any of that crazy pain that you get the day after or something like that. It didn't get stiff. He's a problem. That dude's a problem.
And for the Spurs, look, I didn't think they were all that bad defensively. They didn't offense well at all. I mean, Wemby was horrible. 5 of 17, 0 of 8 from three-point line. Like, you don't have to say this much about Wemby, but after game one, you do. He's got to remember he's 7'4". So go down on the low block and use your size to your advantage, especially if the Wolves are going to play small again and put Naz Reid at the 5. You have to make them pay. You cannot be 30 to 35 feet away from the hoop, jacking up threes. I know he can make them. That's why he's an alien. But he needs to be more physical, more willing to bang bodies, and more willing to utilize his size to his advantage.
For sure. I mean, nice to have all those blocks and break all the records and all that stuff. I don't need to have – give me about 5 blocks. I don't need 12. I'm good.
Right. And I do wonder because, you know, over the last couple of days, the Twitterers out there, Buck – I mean, some of the blocks that Wemby had in game one should have been called goaltending or should have been called a foul.
I don't think the officials know what to do. The officials, it looks so pretty. You know, you're standing there watching it. You forget to call it that it's a goaltend.
Right. Yeah, in real time, it's very difficult to see. Obviously, in slow-mo, with the benefit of that, oh, it's obvious. But I do wonder if maybe the refs are going to be like a little more keen on calling those tonight because of how much of an uproar there's been. But, yeah, he doesn't need to have 12 blocks. He needs to have more than 17 points
for sure.
Like, he needs to be a lot better offensively, and it's not just him. 11 points. He had 17 shots. 11 points is what he ended up with. But De'Aaron Fox has to have a much better game. I mean, he was just 5 of 14 in game one.
No, he's too good a player. You're right.
Right. I mean, they need more from some of their other guys too. It can't be all Wemby, but he's a superstar. He is a superstar. And superstars get held accountable when they have bad games in the playoffs.
And
the game one broadcast, I thought, was a total Wemby slop fest, which, again, he's awesome. He's an alien. He deserves all the love and praise. But he was playing like crap, and the announcers were glazing him the whole time. And it's like, no, this guy needs to be treated like a superstar, like he is. He needs to be good in big games. Tonight is a huge game for the Spurs. I expect Wemby to be great, for the record. But if he's not, then that's going to be a big, big problem for him and the team.
Absolutely.
So, big one. Spurs 9.5-point favorites. I think they win. I think they cover. I think they win comfortably. I think Minnesota kind of has the, yeah, we already won our road game. We've stolen home court. We did what we needed to do. So, I think the Spurs will be the more desperate team tonight. And I think desperation is a hell of a drug this time of the year. I don't know about your Sixers, though, sir.
No. They've already won what they had to do. They beat the Celtics. They're feeling just fine right now.
It's already a successful season for Philly. My goodness,
yes,
we won in the first round.
Coach, we're good. Coach Nurse gets to keep his job for another year.
Yeah, and Philly, it's been a long time. I think we said it yesterday. I mean, for the Knicks, they haven't reached the Eastern Conference Finals since 2000. For the Sixers, they haven't been there since 2001.
Oh, my God.
So both of these, if they were playing somebody else, I think I'd be picking for both of them to lose. But,
yeah, it's
– Embiid's never got there.
No, and the Knicks are, like I said, they're so efficient offensively right now. And they're just boat racing people early in the first two quarters. At halftime, those guys go in and have a sandwich, you know, in a six-pack and come back and play. They just – and nobody can catch up to them. They're just playing really good offense right now.
Yeah, the Altstadt beer, hell, they could go straight to liquor if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On teams. And, yeah, they're the first team in NBA playoff history to have a 30-plus point lead in 3 consecutive playoff games.
It's amazing.
And, obviously, they won all 3, and then they've done it against 2 different opponents. So, yeah, the Knicks are rolling right now. Hockey, Buck, 2 games tonight, 6 o'clock, Montreal and Buffalo. We've got series that have already played 2 games. This is game 1 of the Canadiens and the Sabres in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going to take this Buffalo for 100,000 unit play. Make that 150.
Whoa. So much for easing back into things.
Yeah, that place will be all cranked up.
You've got one good night behind you, and all of a sudden you're high rolling now.
Yeah, the Canadiens think they've – all of a sudden, they've got a hockey program going on.
They're still
in the States. They're still playing in the States.
You're in the high limit rooms now in Vegas.
Yes.
That's what those are called. And game two, Ducks, Golden Knights in Vegas. Vegas up 1-0. They got gifted game one. Some garbage officiating. Absolutely hosed the Ducks.
And this is in Vegas? You said this in Vegas?
In Vegas.
Yeah, I'll take the Knights for 50.
Okay.
50. All right. Looks like a four-win night for me again. Y'all use people.
Well, Hughes only won three games last night.
This is a four-gamer.
There are only three games to play. So.
One I'm worried about more than anything is the Spurs. I took the Wolves, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah, Fox is liable to have a breakout. He needs one. He needs one of those.
And if he doesn't, I think Mitch Johnson may need to go to Harper a little bit more.
Yeah.
Harper was better in game one, 18 off the bench. I thought the Spurs offense flowed better with Harper in the game. And I know Fox is the higher paid guy. He's a veteran.
In the regular season, did the Spurs, did they ever boat race this group, or has it always been close games? And no one has ever really, I think this was a game that Ant-Man had like 55 points in one of these meetings during the regular season.
Well, the Spurs went 1-2 against the Wolves in the regular year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they haven't boat raced, obviously, so.
And the games were close, and the home team had won all three. Obviously, the road team won the first playoff game. But, yeah, this was not a great matchup for San Antonio. They took care of business against just about everybody else, but Minnesota.
I think the Wolves is a young team. It's a young team that has been in playoff, that have playoff experience.
They're not that young, though. Again, they've got Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley playing significant minutes.
Yeah, Mike Conley's an old man, so is Rudy.
Yeah, I mean, Ant-Man's the young superstar, and they are experienced. They've been to the conference finals 2 years in a row.
Yeah, but, I'm good with that.
I mean, Julius Randle's been in the league for a long time.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Naz Reid has been in the league for a long time. So it's a nice mix, but I would not say they are a young team.
No, they're not young.
Any stretch.
So, and they've been in play. They've got playoff experience.
They do have that. And the Spurs do not. That was the big question. Going into this entire postseason run for San Antonio, is the lack of experience going to hurt them? You know, in round one, they were so much better than Portland, and that was also a team that had no playoff experience. So it was like, okay, that works. But Minnesota's obviously a lot better, and they've got the pedigree and the track record this time of the year. So
yeah, Mike Taylor must, you know, our buddy Mike Taylor must be thinking, this is what he worried about, you know, when it came time to get into these playoffs with this young team, this young Spurs team. Would they be able to handle it?
Yep. I think it's what every Spurs fan worried about. And again, it's one game. Sometimes you lose a game in the playoffs. It feels like the sky is falling and, oh my God, we're in trouble. I expect the Spurs to bounce back tonight and give that fan base a lot more confidence that they are still the better team in this series. They are still the favorite in this series, and I think they should be. So there you go. Some NBA playoff conversation in the Bucks. Gold Star locks. If you hit all of these, you'll be back in the green.
Yes. And the people will be happy, won't they?
People, yes, they will be for now.
Hey, it's not over.
It's not over. Exactly. That's where I was going. Like, they might be happy in the short term, but you got to end up. That's what all the handicappers brag about is like, oh, I finished this season with a winning record.
Yeah, once the Sixers go ahead and lose this one, then they come home and win two. And yeah, and as they get ready to motor on to the next level and into the finals, now we're talking.
The Sixers? All of a sudden you go from they got no chance to now they're going to win the series?
Well, they're not going to win. They're not going to win this one, but once they get home, they're going to win two.
Well, they are the road team in the series, so they're going to have to win one on the road.
This isn't the one, BK. Not tonight.
All right.
The Knicks are eating pretzels and nice slices of pizza from New York right now. Dollar slices they're getting, you know.
Okay. I'm following here, I think.
Philly's looking like they're just packing their faces with Philly's, you know, cheesesteaks, pierogies. I mean, they look sluggish compared to what the Knicks look like. Well, the Knicks have made everybody look bad, like you said, in the last three games. The numbers that they're putting up on people.
Well, Philly was tired, I think, because they had that long seven-game series and only one day off between Game 7 in Boston and Game 1 in New York. So the Knicks had the rest advantage. Doesn't always pay off, but I think it made a difference in game one. I don't think, I think the Knicks are going to win tonight. I don't think they're going to win by 40. Not that that's a super bold prediction by me. But
you're not going to do that again.
I do think we'll at least get a competitive game tonight. If not, then we might be bringing out some brooms here.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. We will take your thoughts. The Dakota text line 512-222-9328. We've got some rule changes potentially coming to college football that we need to dive into. Chip Brown's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk Longhorn football and baseball with him. But before we go any further, how about another round of sponsored shout-outs?
We love our friends over at, of course, Sue Patrick. Since 1975, an incredible selection of Longhorn apparel. They have everything that you're looking for, all the collectibles and tons of Texas-themed gifts, items, books, cards, and a wide variety of men's and women's clothing. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, of course. Stop by Sue Patrick's, of course, and say hello to everybody over at Sue Patrick's. Folks, online orders of $59 or more, free curbside pickup. They are the Jellycat headquarters, 5222 Burnett Road. 50 years of giving us great service in Central Texas. We love the folks over at, of course, Sue Patrick's. We will be there Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Thursday. That's right.
Come on.
We will be there tomorrow. Yes, looking sir. Forward to going over there. Of course, we love everything that that they have to offer over at Sue Patrick. For more information, go to suepatrick.com, folks.
And a very happy birthday to Miss
Patrick. Absolutely.
I think she's turning 47 today.
46, I believe.
Okay. Sorry for rounding up, Miss Patrick.
There you go.
Got some great birthday sales going on some women's clothes.
So absolutely.
Take care of mama for Mother's Day. It's a good time to go to Sue Patrick. Happy birthday, Miss Patrick. Also, shout out to our friends at McCall Custom Homes. Speaking of doing the best work for a long time, that's what McCall Custom Homes is all about. It's a father-son team with more than four decades of experience here in Central Texas. So they know what it takes to turn an Austin area home into something truly special. Kitchen remodels, bathroom renovations. You want to add on to your home. Maybe you want to add some life to your outdoor space, front yard, backyard, both. They can make it all happen for you. They're A-plus rated by the BBB. Tons of five-star reviews online. They do the best work. They're fully licensed. They're fully insured. And again, they've been around and they are going to stay around. All you have to do is reach out to Mike and his team at McCall Custom Homes. 512-633-9580. Free estimates right now to Bucky and BK listeners. So have them out to your place completely risk-free. Tell them what you're thinking. They'll tell you what they can do. And then boom, you go from there, or you can find out more online. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com.
Of course, our friends over at Woods Conference Systems. How about this? 70 years in Central Texas, BK. And when they get to doing air conditioning, and believe me, you're going to need it over the next week or so because it is some kind of humid out. Started out this morning. It is humid as you know what. So you want that air conditioning working properly. Please, if you want it at a certain temperature, make sure you got it at a certain temperature. Don't have it 3 degrees higher or 3 degrees lower. Woods Comfort Systems, their technicians will come out to you. They'll be on time, and they will get it done. They've been doing the same thing when it comes to heating during the winter months. And, folks, now they do plumbing, indoor and outdoor plumbing just for you. So call them Woods Comfort Systems, and they will give you the service that you've been looking for. 70 years in Central Texas, Woods Comfort Systems, nobody does it better.
No, they don't. 512-842-5066, woodscomfortsystems.com for more information. Nobody brews beers better.
Oh, nobody.
Than Altstadt. It's not just my opinion. Altstadt was named Brewery of the Year.
Hope you had some of that Cinco de Mayo yesterday. Yeah.
Not a Mexican beer, but you could have had some Altstadt during Cinco de Mayo.
Drinko. Hey, that's Cinco de Drinko. You kidding me?
Well, today is Seis de Drinko. Tomorrow's Siete de Drinko.
You got that right.
We can keep going. I can go all the way to 100.
There you go.
Never a bad day to have an Altstadt beer. Come on. It's hump day. You're getting over the hump. Celebrate that with some Altstadt award-winning beer. Not just one award. Their beers have won a ton of awards over the years. Everything's brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but easy to find all across the Lone Star State. Next time you're at your favorite liquor store, grocery store, bar, or restaurant, make sure you ask for the best. That is Altstadt. All of their beers are brewed without additives or filler ingredients, unnecessary sugars, preservatives, all that stuff that you find in some other beers. You don't find that in Altstadt. You're getting a good, clean, crisp, fresh, refreshing beer that hits the spot every single time. Go get you some. It is Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. I'm going to be giving away some Altstadt at the Mullet Open next week.
Yes, indeed. Oh, yeah, man. Yes, indeed. Looking forward to the 25th annual Mullet Open, and it will be a beauty. And thank you to Tom McKay once again for what he's doing. That's just an incredible gift of kindness to the Mullet Open. He's always been kind to me and to you and to people that he knows, but this is really special for the 25th anniversary of the Mullet Open. So yeah. Two 85-inch screen TVs. I keep looking around going, he's giving away two of these things at my house to these mullets that come out here for this. Wow.
Yeah, it's happening. It's going to be epic. And I think the wheels are still in motion here. But I think for the first time in the, I don't know, 7 or 8 Mullet Opens that I've been lucky enough to be a part of, I will actually be hitting the links.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I don't think you've ever gotten sued.
No.
This might be the year, Buck.
No. Not on the 25th. Please. Not on year 25. You know, I've never played in the golf tournament. So
you never have.
I've never one time been into this, into that. I'm horrified to see what happens on the golf course. So I don't go there. The cheating or whatever they do, you know, I just have never, but I'm excited about it. I really am. I put some extra juice into this one, and to get Tom to do that, that's awesome.
You work hard every year, but yeah, you've really been ramping things up for number 25, and I'm excited. The people are excited. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous event out at Lost Pines Resort.
And thinking, of course, the folks at Starbucks have now jumped in, BK. They're going to be serving coffee, pastries, and giving away Starbucks stuff at the Mullet Open. You know, how I used to run around, how am I going to get coffee? How am I going to get, do I have to all to bring this stuff? The Starbucks company people are coming. Their general manager will be, she's coming and bringing a tent and the whole work. They'll have coffee all day, pastry all day.
You got the best local coffee shop in town?
I'm not saying, yes, they are the best. They are my favorite coffee shop.
They're local. What do you mean?
Yes, yes, yes. They are local. Local people work there. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's local to us.
Thank you to Patricia. She's saying, she goes, well, what do you need? I'm like, well, just coffee. She goes, no, I'm going to bring pastry. She goes, how many players do you have? I said, a lot. This one's packed. It's got like 3 or 4 extra teams. She goes, I just gave out 400 mugs of our. She goes, you need about 250 or so. She goes, I got them. We got it covered. Throw in your bags. I'm like, nice. Bring it on.
Oh, that's great. We'll have it's going to be fun. And you don't have to be playing in the event to participate in the raffle, correct?
Oh, no. We've always had that one open. You want to come out there, and there's been folks that come out to bring, you know, have dinner out there. Louis Miller's Barbecue, of course. Wayne Miller will be, you know, the chef himself will be out there serving. So he's excited about doing it, and he's got great food. And you know that because you always get to take some of that with you.
Yeah, I'd be careful about inviting too many extra people.
Yeah, you don't want them to get too involved.
It's less leftovers for yours truly, so not what we're looking for. But that's coming up next Friday. Again, excited for that. And shout out to everybody who is helping to sponsor that great event. Should be a lot of fun. Okay, rule changes coming potentially. College football. We might have to pause this in a moment when Chip Brown jumps on the show. But I saw yesterday the American Football Coaches Association is recommending 5 pretty major changes to
five of them
to the scheduling of college football. The biggest recommendation, at least the most important recommendation in the eyes of the AFCA, is that the season is completed by the second Monday in January. So, you know, this past year, the national championship game was after, I think it was on MLK Day, actually. It was January 19th. Mm-hmm. I think it's scheduled to be even later next year, like in the January 20s. I mean, they just, with the playoff expansion, with all that they've changed, it feels like the season is going longer and longer.
Oh, yeah, it's been closer to the week before the Super Bowl.
Right, and I think this coming season, it's going to be the week before the Super Bowl. So the college coaches are like, we need to stop this. We like the games. We like playing as often as we are. We know money's important, so we know that can't change. But we need to find a way to make the season end shorter or earlier, excuse me, than it has been lately.
Well, what does that do? Does that mean less somebody doesn't get a bye, or we're not having a week off? We're going right off the bat right away?
Well, I'm glad you asked. By the way, the 2027 National Championship game, which we all hope to be at in Vegas, is scheduled for January 25th.
Wow.
Yeah, very late, which I would guess, and I feel pretty confident in this guess, that that is the latest college football National Championship game that we have ever had. So they're trying to move that back. And, yeah, some of the changes that are kind of related to that, this is the big one, Buck. They're also proposing the elimination of conference championship games.
Well, that's going to be hard in the SEC because they love their championship game. We love Atlanta.
I think it's a lot of SEC coaches who are a part of this thing. I mean, this is not like one conference coming out. This isn't like Brett Yormark being weird and saying, I want all of these rules changed because I'm Brett Yormark. No, these are coaches from around the country who have gotten together and proposed that as one of their changes.
Interesting.
I don't really like it very much. So we'll get Chip Brown's thoughts on this. We'll give our thoughts on this as the show continues. But
yeah, I like to have my championship played just the day before Valentine's Day. Why not?
The national championship?
Oh, yeah. Why not February 14th? Why not have it on Valentine's Day?
So what, like after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, why not? Come on, let's go.
What are you going to have?
Have it on my birthday in June if we have to.
You're going to have 3 weeks off in between each playoff round?
Good Lord. Man, this thing is stretching out.
It is. And they're trying to stop that, but they're also trying to get rid of some things to make that happen. So